very important that you follow along with what I'm saying, and it's especially important in passages like this, because it gets weird, as I'm going to read to you in just a second. So we're going to take a few weeks to go through Daniel chapter 7, and then there's no let-up because Daniel 8's weird too. But we'll get through it. God has given us his word to be understood, and even though there are parts of it that are challenging, they are still parts he wants us to learn. There are parts that he wants us to read and understand. And this is what we're going to try to do today. This, I would say, Daniel chapter 7, involves probably the most important vision in Scripture, with perhaps the book of Revelation on a par with it. But this is a very important chapter. Jesus himself quotes from this chapter and alludes to it. And so it is most important that we pay attention. And I will try in today and the weeks that follow to explain it. So, yes, I'm going to tell you right now that there are going to be parts of this today that you're not going to understand. You're going to go out here, you're going to shake my hand, but then I'm going to see you scratching your heads like this as you go out the door. Okay? But in the weeks to come, hopefully that will be alleviated, and instead of scratching your head, you'll just kind of part your hair back a little bit like this. You see, you're a bit more at ease. So we'll see. But we're in Daniel chapter 7, and I'm going to read the first 22 verses for us. Although, don't worry, I'm not going to pick our way through all of these 22 verses. I'm going to kind of survey today. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. So he's summarizing it. Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then I looked as its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this I looked, and behold another, like a leopard, with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the 1st horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth, speaking great things." How are you doing? Clear as mud, yeah? "As I looked," verse 9, "thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed, and given over to the burn, to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. And about the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which three of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. What I've just read is often in the more scholarly literature called apocalyptic literature. You don't have to remember this. And, of course, you have to have a fancy name for it, because it's strange, isn't it? It's odd. What we would prefer is just, like, give us the plain meaning of this. But God here, as in other places, chose to reveal things in symbols. But the symbols are not difficult to understand. They're difficult to picture. It's like this. Okay, so I've got a bear that's raised up on one side, and it's got three horns in its mouth. I've got, yeah, is it up there? It's behind me already, isn't it? There it is. And so I've got a leopard with wings. I've got a lion there with wings, and the wings get plucked off, and it stands on its hind legs like a man, and a man's heart's given to it. What's all that about? Well, remember that in verse 17, yeah, these four great beasts are four kings. Or kingdoms. Okay? Kings that stand for kingdoms. So that helps you, doesn't it? That helps you to see that these are symbolic. Now, what is the symbol of California? A bear. Just a bear. I mean, doesn't have any, you know, horns or weird things sticking out of it like these do. But you can see that straight away you get some idea of the kind of symbolism that's being used. Does it help if I tell you that two of the symbols of the Empire of Babylon were the lion and the eagle? Does that help you a little bit? That symbolizes Babylon. So now what you can do is you can replace that weird thingy, the first one, yeah, with Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon. Okay? Now what about the next one? The next one's the bear. It's like a bear, it says. And it's raised up on one side. Well, what was the next, here's a Bible quiz for you. What was the next kingdom to come after the Babylonian kingdom? We looked at this at chapter 2. It was the Medo-Persian kingdom. Two peoples that came together. The Medo-Persian Empire. Now the Medes came to power first, but they had a very short-lived empire, and then the Persians joined them, and they were much mightier, much more powerful, and they joined forces under Cyrus the Great, who himself was a Mede, and became a very powerful, but the Medes were more powerful, so you see it's raised up on one side. Does that make sense? Because one part of it is more powerful than the other part. You say, well, that's, I understand that, but what about those three things sticking out of its mouth? Well, the Medo-Persian Empire pushed south, and it pushed west, and it pushed east. It pushed into Lydia, modern-day Turkey. It pushed south into Egypt, and pushed east into Parthia. So that, I think, and it's, remember, rise up and devour. So I think that symbolizes the three conquered territories of the Medo-Persian Empire. And ancient would have known this, although of course in Daniel's time, anyone in Daniel's time wouldn't have known this, because this is at the time of King Belshazzar. Babylonian Empire still going, do you see? So that gives you an idea of why there's some symbolism going on there. What about the next one? It's like a leopard. What's a leopard famous for? Or what does it envisage? Speed. Yes, speed. Alexander the Great. Okay? What did he do? Conquered in 5 years. In 5 years he conquered from Macedonia, modern day Greece, all the way over to India. Died in Babylon, ironically enough, on the way back, having no more kingdoms to conquer. So the Greek Empire was known for their rapacity, for their speed, the speed of their attacks. Do you see? Well, how come it's got four heads? It's because when Alexander died, his kingdom was split up into four different territories. Do you see? And then finally, there's the most weird of all of the beasts, and we're not told what this one looks like, but what came after the Greek Empire? The Roman Empire. Yes? Which ground everything under its heel. And so that fourth one is probably the Roman Empire. Now this matches Daniel chapter 2. Remember the image? The gold and the head was what? Babylon, yes, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Then the silver of the arms and chest was Medo-Persia. And then the thighs and so on, that was Greece. And then the bronze, that was Rome, or the iron, that was Rome. And then there was iron mixed with clay, and there was 10 toes, weren't there? Remember the 10 toes? Obviously, it's an image of a man, so it has 10 toes. But the 10 toes were kingdoms. And here you've got the Roman Empire again envisaged as this weird beast. Iron, remember, which connects you with that image. And 10 horns now. And those horns are what? They're kingdoms. You're told that those horns are kingdoms. Let's have a look. We'll go... Go a little bit slower here. Then I desired, verse 19, to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped that which was left with its feet. And about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up. And I'm going to get to that horn in just a minute. Well, those horns, they are kingdoms, we're going to be told. Okay? Which means that the little horn that comes up and displaces three, that's a kingdom, or possibly a kingdom, or a king anyway. A king. All right, let's step back. Take a nice deep breath. What do we have? Try and rid your mind a little bit of the weird stuff. What do we have? We have four kingdoms. And we have, in the fourth kingdom, what we have is 10 kingdoms that come from the fourth kingdom. And then another king or kingdom, because remember, king and kingdoms can switch places. Nebuchadnezzar was a king, but he symbolized the Babylonian kingdom. So you have this other one, the little horn, that comes up and displaces the three. And what's weird about that little horn? Do you remember? How's it described?
Eyes and a mouth.
Eyes and a mouth. That's real strange. And it starts speaking too. I've never seen a horn do that. I've never seen a horn with eyes and a mouth either. Obviously, it's not a literal horn. This is a man. Okay? This is a man. A king. And he blasphemes God. And he persecutes the saints. Do you see that? He persecutes the saints. In verse 21, made war with the saints and prevailed over them. Verse 21. Who are the saints there? Now, Daniel is an Old Testament book. So who are the saints? Israel, that's right. Israel. So the saints are Israel. This is the persecution of Israel, the nation. Okay, particularly the believing saints in Israel. Now what we don't have in this picture is we don't have a timeline. Okay? Now do you want me to cheat and give you a little timeline here? Okay? In fact, it's not much of a cheat because where I'm going to go to in a minute will actually give you the timeline, but I'm just going to put you in the picture. It has to do with the character who is described in verses 13 and 14. This Son of Man figure who comes in the clouds. Who could that be? That's Jesus. Okay? When does Jesus come in the clouds? Second coming. Give yourself a round of applause. Very good. Okay? Second coming. So when is the time? Because he's the one who delivers the saints from this persecutor, from this little horn. When is the time of the 10 kingdoms and the little horn? Has to be just before the second coming. Is it coming together? Do you see that? Yes. Wasn't the first coming. How do we know it's not the first coming? Because Jesus didn't come with clouds at the first coming. In fact, he said to Pilate, when Pilate asked him if he was a king, and he said, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. But henceforth you will see the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. What was he quoting? This passage. So who is the king who comes, who is given a kingdom by God, whose kingdom will reign forever and ever and ever? The king is Jesus. Amen. The king is Jesus. Coming back to this planet and reigning forever. And he doesn't have to hold an election. And he doesn't have to campaign anywhere. He comes back, and just as, remember the little, the stone cut out of a mountain that destroyed the image in chapter 2, and the image was crumbled into dust, and it, the winds blew it away, and then that stone grew throughout all of the earth. That's the kingdom of Christ. Christ will one day rule this entire world. Every knee will bow. No, it's not talking spiritually when it says that. It's talking literally when it says that. So that puts you, I hope that, that kind of alleviates some of the stress and tension you felt when I started reading this passage. Alright? Some of you are still kind of, you know, yeah, I know. Head's ringing a bit. So, four weird creatures. Was there something else I wanted to say? Oh, yes. Remember that the lion was given a heart like a man. You say, what's all that about? I might as well explain that while I'm at it, yes? Well, what king became a wild animal and then had his reason restored to him? Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. So that's an allusion to that. This is in the time of this is given in the time of Belshazzar, okay? And first year, which is in the about 655 BC. Sorry. 455 BC. And which would have placed his illness before that time. Okay? Because Belshazzar would have known about Nebuchadnezzar's illness. In fact, in chapter 4, you're told that one of the condemnations of Belshazzar was, you knew that God had done this to your grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, and you didn't repent. And you took all of these things out of the treasury, and you ate and got drunk and celebrated the gods of stone and wood and so on, with all of the things dedicated to the Lord God. So you see how this all comes together. You say, well, why didn't he just say it straight? Why does he use this imagery? I don't know first, but I can guess because it's vivid. Because it's vivid and it also takes some effort. If you want to know, you can know, but you've got to think about it. You've got to study. Yes, search the scriptures to see if these things are so, Jesus said, remember? So you have to study a little bit in order to for these things to come together. But when they do start to come together, then it's like, wow, God's in control. Or is he? He says, that's not really a proper question, but because we know he is. But there's going to be a time when people probably will question this, and this is the time of the little horn. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man. That's intelligence, okay? That speaks of intelligence. And a mouth speaking great things. What are the great things? Verse 11. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed and its body was destroyed. And then later on, he wants to know about the horn. And so look at verse 20. It says, the other horn that came up and before which three of them fell, and the horn that had eyes and a mouth and spoke great things and that seemed greater or stouter than its companions, more powerful than the other 10 kings. And this king, this little horn, is the persecutor of Israel. just before the time of the second coming of Christ. We're going to find out more about him next week. But he has a name. I am talking about the Antichrist. This is the Antichrist. Have you heard of the Antichrist? Hands up who's heard of the Antichrist. Okay? This is the Antichrist. Now, next week we'll run a few references in the Old Testament and the New Testament which give you more information about this character. But before Jesus comes, there is going to be a world ruler on this world. And he is going to change things around, and he's going to persecute the saints. And everybody's going to go after him. And they're going to think he's wonderful. Maybe within our lifetimes, this character will rise up. Certainly things are moving towards ungodliness. Things are moving towards globalization and a world government, are they not? Do we have a charismatic leader anywhere in the world? We've got Trump. Okay. And Trump's our president, and we should honor him, okay? No matter which part of the divide we are on. And I tend to be more on his side because of his policies. Because of his policies. I'm against abortion. He's more against abortion. You see? I'm against illegal immigration. Why? I'm a legal immigrant, that's why. But I'm also, you need to have sovereignty, otherwise that encourages globalism. Do you see? So I agree with many of his policies, even if I don't agree with him personally. Do you see? But he's not, I don't think you can call him charismatic. We don't have a charismatic leader anywhere in the world. Sorry? Well, yeah, but there isn't really anyone who grasps the attention. Everybody goes for it and say, oh, hey, this guy's brilliant. This guy's amazing. But the Antichrist will be that kind of a guy. Do you see? This little horn. All right, moving on quickly. Who's the Ancient of Days, do you think? He's got white hair. He sits on a throne. He's surrounded by fire and so on. He seems to sit on some kind of a chariot. You know, it talks about wheels, doesn't it? Yeah? Have you read Ezekiel? You think Daniel 7's weird? Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10, you know, are very weird. But in Ezekiel, you find the Son of Man figure sat on a kind of a chariot-like thing with wheels. Now there are very strange angelic beings, cherubim, that are around it. But this is the same kind of depiction, do you see? The throne of God is on top of that chariot. And here you have the throne of God, and the Ancient of Days. That's God the Father. And the Son of Man, Jesus' favorite term for himself, when he's calling himself the Son of Man, who's he referring to then? Is he just saying, yeah, I'm like a man? Or is he saying, no, I'm the Messiah, I'm the coming world ruler. I'm the king, the true king. That's what he's saying when he's saying he's the Son of Man. And the Son of Man comes and takes the throne and the dominion of earth forever. It's amazing. It's astonishing truth. Jesus in Luke chapter 19 gives a little, 19:11 and following. He gives you a little parable there about the same thing. He talks about a nobleman who comes and then he goes on a far journey to receive a kingdom. And when he comes, you know, while he's away, his people say, you know, we don't want this guy ruling over us. And they mistreat his people and so on, yes? When he comes back, then they all report to him. And he deals with them. Some of them he rewards for their faithfulness, and some of them he punishes. That is an allusion to this passage. The Son of Man going to receive a kingdom from God the Father. What kingdom is it? It's the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world. Let's quickly look at verses 15 to 22. I'm just going to add a few more details and we're going to close. Verse 15. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious and the visions of my head alarmed me. And we might say, amen, you're kind of alarming me too. I approached one of those who stood there. This is an angelic being, and asked him the truth concerning all of this. So he showed me the interpretation. The four beasts, great beasts, are four kings or kingdoms that shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom, notice, forever, forever and ever. Now, Hebrew does not have a word for forever or everlasting. So that's why you have this repetition. Okay, it's olam. And the repetition of it, which we have here, means not just a great long time, which is what olam means, but a really, really, really long time. Keep going and keep going. Okay? Now, this is where I want to close. We occupy very short spaces of time upon this earth. Very short. Our lives are short. Hey, Kurt? Yeah, he's nodding his head there. Yes. Paul? We just occupy a short amount of time on this earth, don't we? Yeah. He's 90, what are you? 97, 98? 98. Years young. And we can think, because we occupy that amount of time, okay, that things are just going to go on the same as they've always been for thousands of years. This kingdom of Jesus Christ that he will receive from the Father and he will come and he will reign lasts forever and ever and ever. Compared to that, what is this little microcosm that we're in now? What is it? It's nothing. It's a sneeze, yes. It's a vapor, as James says. That puts things into perspective. Because we're citizens of that kingdom, folks. If we know Jesus, we're citizens of that kingdom. That kingdom is to come. And after looking at pictures like that and considering them, at the end of the day, we can all pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that this is a challenging passage, but Lord, it can be explained. And when it's explained and meditated upon, there are wonderful truths that it delivers up. We thank you, Lord, that this has all been prearranged. This is all, and in your mind, it's already done. People scoff at the second coming of Christ. People scoff at his reigning over the earth. They think that the United Nations is going to sort everything out. They think that things are just going to continue the way they've always been. But Lord, one day, that will all end. And the one whose name is often despised, he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords upon this planet. And we acknowledge him right now. as that king. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.